We talked different things about our Lord as examples, and we're going to continue that this evening. Let me go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to help me, and then we'll look here at John chapter 8 and verse 30. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to preach, and I pray that you give me the words, examples, whatever it would be to help us to see you, to understand you better, and I just pray for your help as I preach. And asked in your name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. John chapter 8, if you look at verse 30, so talking about different examples. Last week we were talking about finishing the work, steadfast, showing that he cared, faithfulness. Week before, forgiving others, bearing others, being a witness, showing love. And this week, we're going to start off about, and again, this is an obvious one, and all these you think about would probably be obvious ones, but about speaking the truth. Everything our Lord said was the truth. I mean, you think about this very words of God is God's word. God is not a liar. What God says is always truth. And I want you to see here, as he spoke the truth, and you think about, he's our example. So the reality is we should speak the truth too, right? We should not lie. We should be honest. Now the Bible tells us here in John chapter 8, starting verse 30, and as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now, let me just stop there for a second. When Jesus was talking and he responded in verse 31 and verse 32, who was he talking to? Who was he talking to? He was talking to the Jewish people, right? Now, did these Jewish people, the Bible say, believed on him?
Yeah.
Yes. So, but what do you think that means, to believe on him? Do you think they believed on him as their Savior or something else? What do you think?
Something else.
Something else. And why do you think it's something else?
Because they crucified him.
Well, they're Jewish people did. The Gentiles did too. But just in these verses. We're sticking with this group that's here in these verses. Doris.
Then he says, if.
Yes.
Then are you my disciples indeed?
And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, right? So the reality is, what did they believe? Well, I'm not 100% sure what they believed in. Maybe they believed that he was a prophet. Maybe they thought that his words they were saying was good or something. I don't know. But for the Lord to say this to them and them to respond, they answered him. This is the ones that the Bible said they believed. We could see they weren't born again. They said, we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? So the reality is they didn't understand. They didn't see themselves as a sinner, or they didn't see that their sin was going to take them to hell. So they may have believed in Jesus as he was a good man or whatever, a prophet or whatever, but they didn't believe on him. They didn't accept him as their Savior. Does that make sense? That makes sense of what's there? Yes. So you think about what he's doing is he's speaking the truth. And he's telling them the truth. And look what he says, verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, verily, verily, is truly, truly, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and a servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do speak that which you have seen of your father. They answered and said to them, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that have told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. Jesus saith unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. So what you can see here is our Lord, he's an example, right? He told people the truth. He wasn't mean to these people, but he also showed them what they were trusting in wouldn't get into heaven. What do you think these people were trusting in? Joe?
Their works.
What's that?
Their works.
Abraham.
So, Abraham.
And that would mean they are what?
Sinners.
Well, Abraham, they were trusting him. They were Jewish people, right? So they were trusting because they were Jewish people. They were going to heaven. And what our Lord showed them was that even though, yes, the Jewish people, there's a blessing for people that are Jewish, they still need to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. He told them the truth. You know, sometimes you're going to run in. You know, most people of this world are religious. Most people of this world is religious. You know, even an atheist person is religious. They believe in themselves as a God. You know, this is foolishness. And but anyway, but you think about most people that are, you know, that are religious are lost. And you're going to run into people that are lost. And they're going to tell you, you know, maybe they'll tell you that they believe in God or whatever. And the reality is you have to allow the Lord to lead and open up, you know, the opportunity. But we have to be willing to tell them the truth. Just because you believe in God does not mean that you're going to heaven. There you go. Yeah. You think about it, the devil believes in God. The demons believe in God. And they're lost. So being religious does not get you to heaven. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. What's that mean? You realize that you're a sinner. You realize you can't save yourself. And you trust in what Jesus did for you. He died for you, was buried, and rose again. You accept him as your Savior, and you become born again. But anyway, what we see is he told them the truth. If Jesus did not tell them the truth, those people could have thought what?
That they were fine.
And when they died, what would have happened to them? They would have went to hell, right? So the reality is this, we need to be willing to tell people the truth. Even though there's going to be people that don't like it. Did they like what Jesus told them?
No.
But the reality is, he told them the truth. You know, it's interesting, when you go through these verses, you can see their Lord gave you some evidence of salvation. If you're truly born again, there's some evidence. One, you love the Lord. You know, you could see that. He was talking about that. They didn't understand his word. Lost people don't understand this Bible. A saved person will. Doesn't mean you'll understand everything, but you'll see it. So anyway, what we see is he told them the truth. He is their example. How about us? Do we speak the truth? Hopefully you do. Look over here to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. So speak the truth. So that means don't lie. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The old man, what is he referring to?
Our old self.
Or that's, you know, that sin nature of us, right? We can never get rid of it. But what he's saying is don't surrender to the sin nature. Don't keep on doing that, right? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, right? He's telling us to be in the Spirit, to surrender. Don't surrender to the old self, surrender to the new, right? It's saying be in the Spirit. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbors, for your members one of another. So verse 25, who is he talking to? Who is Paul addressing here? Is he addressing the lost or the saved?
Saved,
right? Because a lost person can't put off the old man and put on the new man, right? They can't do that. They only have the old man, right? So he's talking to the saved. And when he says, put away lying, is it possible for Christians to lie?
Yes.
If not, he wouldn't say, put away lying.
Right.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
It's that old nature, that old man. And the reality is this. You as a Christian, I as a Christian, the reality is this. We can lie. And the Bible says this. Put it off. Don't do it. Don't lie. And when you find yourself and you lie, what should you do?
Repent
and
make it right.
Make it right. There you go.
Does this dress make me look fat?
We'll go to the...
My husband, that he'll tell you the truth.
Yeah. So, sometimes it's best not to say, right?
So,
but, well, yeah, If Debbie or Ariana asks and say, what do you think of this dress? I'm going to be honest with them.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm always going to be honest. But I'll try to use tactful words, right? But so anyway, I wanted you to realize that in verse 25, it is possible, because even as a Christian, for you to lie. If not, he would tell us. He wouldn't tell us this. There would be no need to say, don't lie, right? You want, there'd be no need to say those things. So anyway, what is he telling us? To tell the truth, right? Be honest. Are you known as someone who is honest? Only you can answer that. Are you an honest person? You should be. You should be honest in your dealings. When I was, I can't remember if we were married, we may have been married, or it may have been after I got saved, before I got married. I remember I went to a grocery store that was Martin's. I believe it's called Martin's. And I think they changed it to Giant or something now. I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, it's called Martin's. And I went through the grocery line, and at those days, I would drink Kool-Aid. You know, because it was a simple thing to get, didn't have much money, and I couldn't stand water. I wanted to put something in. So there you go. So anyway, I get those Kool-Aid packs, the ones without the sugar in it. And those days, I don't know how much they cost. They may have been,
I think they're like 10 cents or 40.
They may have been by those days.
I think it's like 20 for a dollar.
Yeah, something like that. It was something cheap. I can't remember for sure. But anyway, I remember I ended up getting, I think it was one or two extra, and they didn't charge me for them. And for whatever reason, as I was leaving the store, I was looking at the receipt and looked down, and whatever it would cost, that Kool-Aid pack, maybe a nickel, a dime, whatever, they did not charge me. And I went back to them and told them, you didn't charge me, I owe you whatever, a nickel or a dime. And you may say, why? It's the right thing to do, right?
Get it out of you one way or another.
No, if you didn't recognize it, it wouldn't be a lie, though.
What's that?
If you didn't recognize it,
what would it have been? Well, I don't know. It wouldn't have been a lie, per se.
No.
Yeah. But the reality is, be honest.
He's a financial guy, though. You probably knew to the penny, Pastor, like what it was going to cost.
I can't remember what it was.
He knows it's true. It's true.
Well, that's finance people. So anyway,
sorry.
I remember there was a time Debbie went grocery shopping at Price Chopper, right? And she went to Price Chopper and she came home and she looked at her receipt. And do you remember that? What was it that they forgot to do? Do you remember?
Turkey. The turkey.
Yeah, the turkey.
We got a whole turkey?
We got turkey for free. They didn't charge us.
That was a Thanksgiving special.
There you go. Yeah, it was a five-finger discount Miss Deb got. So, no.
See, if it's her, it's okay. Don't worry about it. But if you allow her to go back and pay.
Well, she's got that.
Well, you didn't let me finish my story. So, Debbie calls them, and they tell her to come in. And they charged us for the turkey.
Oh, I thought you were saying
the arrest. No, so, yeah. So, anyway, all I'm trying to tell you is this, is he tells us to be honest. We should be honest people, right? And so, anyway, our Lord was honest. He spoke the truth. And he's our example. So we should be the example. We should be honest to people. We should tell people if someone is religious, or tell them, hey, that religion won't get you to heaven. You have to have a relationship. But we should be honest in their dealings, in speaking, and talking to others. Look what the Bible says over here to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And 1 Peter chapter 1, look down here verse 14. So again, this one is an obvious one, should be an obvious one for us. About being an example of a holy life. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. I'll give you a couple extra seconds or 10 seconds maybe to find it. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. The Bible says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. You may not have been aware of the things you were doing were wrong. And now that you got saved, you're like, your eyes are open. It's like, whoa. That's not right. So, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all matter of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy, right? He's our example, he's holy. Now, he's sinless, we can't be, amen? And it is impossible for us, right? Because we have that sin nature, that old nature that's there, and we can never be like him because he is holy without sin. And we are sinners. Yes, we're forgiven. But since we've been forgiven, we still sin. I'm not saying we should, but we do. But we should try our best to live a holy life. That day that you got saved, the reality is your eyes are open and you're growing in the Lord. But there should be things that you see in your life and be like, whoa, that's not right. God doesn't want me to do that. Holy Spirit will warn you or convict you and say, don't do that. Don't look at that. Don't read that. Don't, you know, listen to that. Whatever it would be, right? And the reality is we should surrender to the Lord and don't do those things. Live a life that's holy to God. So those that say that you can live any which way you want to, the reality is they're lying to you. Someone may have told them that it came from the devil because it didn't come from God, and they believed it, and then they're just living any which way they want to. That's not what God wants you to live a holy life. What is holy? Well, look at our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at his word, right? God tells us what we should do and shouldn't do. Sometimes I have had, you know, someone will ask the question, you know, if you think about it, like, you think that's right or wrong? I'll just ask them, well, would Jesus do that? No. Then why are you going to do it, right? So sometimes that's an easy thought to put in your mind. But the reality is he lived a holy life and he wants us to, right? To try to live a holy life. Now again, none of us are perfect. There's not a single person in this room since you've been saved that hasn't sinned, right? So I'm not saying it's impossible, right? With God's help, we can try our best. But that shouldn't be an excuse. So do your best to try to live a holy life. Look at your life. Ask the Lord to look at your life, to examine your life and say, Lord, is there things I'm doing I shouldn't? And Lord, or you read something in Scripture or you hear something preach, and you should look and say, hey, is that the truth? Don't push it off to the side and say, that doesn't. No. What does God say? And if God says it's wrong, then move it out of your life, right? Get rid of it. So anyway, he's our example. And the reality is we should live a holy life. Is that easy to do?
No.
No, it's not, right? Salvation is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Receive him as your Savior, right? People make it harder, but it's simple. To live as for the Lord, can I tell you, it's hard at times. And it's that old nature that's there. A lot of times it's the nature that you feed, if you understand. You could feed the old nature or the new nature, right? What I'm saying is the old nature is the flesh, new nature is the spirit. So anyway, our example. Look over here to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I think we did John 8 earlier. But look here, John 8 verse 1. See if you could see the example in this one that our Lord showed. You may see other ones that are here. In John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, I'm going to start reading verse 1. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. In verse 1. So you got it? You got it? Getting there? All right. What's that? We'll have to move it. I'm just joking with you. Yeah. She was trying to wake me up, make sure I was still there. See if you could see the example from what our Lord did here that we can learn from it. In John chapter 8, verse 1, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. So let me just stop there just for a moment. Where was Jesus at?
The temple.
Temple. And what was he doing?
Teaching.
So the scribes and the Pharisees, where were they?
Out and about.
They weren't in there listening.
Out and about, right? Where should they have been?
In the synagogue.
Right? Sure. So you think about, did they set a good example to those they taught?
No.
Right? Remember that too. You set a good example. You know you should be in the house of God. And when you don't, you're not setting a good example, right? That's all free. I didn't have that written down anywhere. So, yeah. Well, it's true. So anyway, so what we see is they caught this lady in adultery. Look here at verse 5. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, let me ask you, can you hear writing?
No.
But you can hear the words that he said. What was the words that he said? You without
sin.
Without sin, right? It's the word of God that will convict. What did Jesus write? I don't know. If he wanted us to know, he would have told us there. So it could have been scripture or something. I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, and when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the elders, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thy accusers? Have no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, we can't do what Jesus did as, some things there. But what do you see that Jesus had, or what did Jesus show to the woman that could be an example for us? What do you think? As an example. Go ahead, John. You said something.
Compassion.
He showed compassion for her, right?
He was trying to educate her to convert over being good instead of evil or wicked in her ways.
Anyone else? Rachel?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness, right? He showed forgiveness. Anything else, Ariana?
Mercy.
Mercy. You read my paper. Amen.
Yeah.
Hold on, I got to sneeze. I think I got to sneeze. Nope. Yeah, it says sneeze now. So, yes, Joe.
Another love.
Love. He showed her love, kindness, right? Anything else did you see that he did that's here?
Encouragement to go the right way.
What's that?
Encouragement
to go the right way. Anything else?
Correction. Grace.
What's that?
Correction.
How did he show correction?
Sin no more.
Do you know a lot of times people get rid of that verse? And they'll say, hey, you know when that lady came to Jesus, that Jesus didn't condemn her? And they never then repeat the next verse? Go and sin no more, right? Jesus didn't say what she was doing was right. He said, go and sin no more. Why did Jesus allow this woman? In the law, in the Old Testament law, what would happen? So that's Old Testament law, right? And this is still under the law. In the Old Testament law, what would happen if they found people caught in adultery?
Stone
them, right? So why didn't Jesus say, stone her? Mark?
Well, the teachers and Sanhedrin were out in the house and caught this woman in the act. Well, in the act means what?
We don't have to get into detail, but yes.
There's a hymn in her.
Yes, there you go.
Right?
Yep.
Where's a hymn in this?
Where's the man?
Yeah. Where's a hymn?
Yep. Yep. So.
They must have went in somebody's house.
So. The reality is, yeah. So the reality is in Deuteronomy 19, what Mark said, if you know, when they're caught, the man and the woman, both of them, should be stoned, right? So both of them should be stoned. But what's the other reason? So when he said that, right, to that, then why didn't Jesus then say, because what she did was wrong? So why didn't she end up getting stoned? Yes.
They didn't have physical proof she did it.
What's that?
They didn't have any proof she did it. They just had her word against theirs.
Well, so Old Testament, right? So if you go over here to the book of, let's see if I can find it, Leviticus. Let me see here. Leviticus 9:20. Leviticus 20, verse 10. Now this says a neighbor's wife or something, but she was caught in adultery. So look here, Leviticus 20. Verse 10. And a man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery and his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and adulteress shall be put to death. Right? So what Mark said is both of them, right? They should both be put to death. So why wasn't she put to death? Yes, because the guy wasn't there. Look over here to Deuteronomy. Do you know the answer, Doris? Deuteronomy 19. Oh, go ahead, say it.
There was no accusers.
Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy 19. Deuteronomy 19. Did you get it? All right. Look here, verse 15. One witness shall not rise up against any man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. How many people were left with the woman?
None.
No.
Jesus.
One. Just one. Right? And he is the judge.
Right.
But there is only one. Right?
And he said he would accuse him.
He says, you know, because he says, where are thy accusers? Right? He was the judge. He's making himself the judge. Said, I'm judge. Where are thy accusers? None. Right? He was there. He was the only one. But do you see why? He kept the law. He convicted them, and he showed mercy to her and showed grace. Does that make sense? That's really powerful when you look at it. It's like, whoa, look what he did. You know, that's there. So, but go and sin no more. Look over here to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. But what Mark said is at the beginning is correct. They should have brought the man, but they had an agenda.
They got backfired on them.
Mark chapter 19.
John or Mark?
I'm sorry, John chapter 19. We got John, we got Mark. John, Mark. John 19. See if you could see which one our Lord did here. John 19 and verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of, was it, how you say that name?
Cleophas.
And Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. What do you see here? This is our Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins. What do you see here as an example? Mark, saw his hand first.
That shows us that we are part of his family. We are to take care of each other. In this case, it was a brother taking care of another mother. Like if you were friends with somebody, I have some friends say, this is my brother from another mother kind of thing. And that you would take care of, you know, if something happened to that family, you would take care of the mother or whatever.
Yeah, John, again, we know the Lord was placed into Mary's womb. John was related to either to Mary or Joseph. So he was family, but he wasn't, you know, stepbrother or stepsister that's there. But he cared for Mary, right? So it was his mother, right? We know it was placed in his womb and she birthed him. He cared for her. And he knew that he was dying, he was rose again, and he would go to heaven. He wanted someone to take care of her, right?
Even though he had half brothers.
Yes. So that shows you at the time, but because again, you see his half brothers, they
didn't know if he was really God or not.
They didn't know it, but later on, later on they saw it, right?
Oh yeah.
And so what do we see is our Lord cared for Mary. I believe that Joseph at this time was dead, mm-hmm. And that's why he said that. Look over here to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. So he's our example. So look what the Bible says over here, 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, look down here, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. Let's give a minute here. 1 Timothy chapter 5. It's okay. Good job. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. What is an infidel?
Unbeliever.
He said someone could be worse than an unbeliever. And who is that person that's going to be worse than an unbeliever? What's he say? Who is he referring to? Yeah. So you think about it as a dad, you know, as a husband. If I didn't take care of my daughter and my wife, I would be worse than an infidel if I didn't provide. Do you see that? Now, don't misunderstand. There's sometimes there's people may get hurt and they can't, right? But God's pretty strong here. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own household, he is denied the faith and worse than an infidel, right? Care for your home. Now, that doesn't mean that you're, you know, things can happen, right? It doesn't mean that you're always going to eat steak, right? And you're going to have the most expensive clothes, you know? That's not what it's saying, to provide, right? So we should be an example. Now, our Lord, you think about when he was dying, he cared for Mary, and he said something to John that was there that, hey, take care of her, right? He cared. He knew he was going to die, but he knew he was going to rise, but he knew he was ascending. Well, it's the same here. We should care, right? You should provide, right? It gets under my skin when parents don't provide for their kids. Oh, it gets under my skin. Oh, I don't like that. But you know what really gets under my skin? Men that don't provide for their family. Does not care for their wives or their children or whatever. Oh, that gets under my skin. Oh, I do not like that. And but anyway, we should be an example. Set an example, right? And so anyway, he goes through. He talks about even widows. And, you know, the church would take care of them. But if they have family, right, the family should take care of them. Amen? So anyway, any questions with that? Anybody with any questions? All right. So hopefully you'll learn from that this evening. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. And I pray that we would learn from these examples that you have taught us in your word. And I pray, Lord, that we'd be able to apply it to our heart and help us to be that example we should be. I pray that you give us safety as we travel and keep a hedge around us. In Jesus, your precious name. Amen.